and welcome to Secondhand Film Critics, your favorite source for mildly pretentious, semi-uneducated, and highly unqualified opinions on movies. I am Kayla, also known as Spooks, and I am here with...
Noah, also known as Stats. Is this only going to be a bit?
It's for the Cinema Swap.
It's for the Cinema Swap stands. It's a Cinema Swap specific bit.
Because it's all Cinema Swap with Spooks and Stats.
If you want the origin of that joke, just go back to the last Cinema Swap episode where we did Phantom Thread and Cool Hand Luke, and that is where that bit comes from.
Came up with our nicknames.
So
Cinema Swap is basically, do we want to explain it now or talk about our weeks, our lives, our years?
I mean,
years,
I feel
like there's not much to
years
tell.
Are up, years up and down, weeks up and down, days up and down, you know, it's all up and down.
Yeah. 1 second, I'm feeling good. As good can be, and then, you know, a couple seconds later, I could be the worst of the worst. You just never know.
It's like I'm doing great, and then I found out I had to start wearing shoes while I play piano because I'm getting tendonitis in my legs.
Oh, my gosh. I don't really know what to say to that, but I'm sorry for you.
Yeah, you know. I have designated piano shoes. It's a sports-related injury.
I mean, yeah, sure. I feel like it counts.
Cinema Swap is a series that we do on this podcast. This is our second episode of it, and basically, it's right in the title. We swap cinema. Kayla picks a movie for me that I have not seen, and I pick a movie for Kayla that she has not seen. And the rule is that we also can't do it to be mean, so we can't.
Yeah,
make the other
and they're ones
that
we have seen. So
right, exactly.
Half of us have seen.
Because if we hadn't seen them, we would just do a we've never seen.
Yeah,
so
right.
It's like,
so one of us has seen it, and one of us has not, and we force the other person essentially to watch it. I feel like, you know, we're smart enough to pick movies that, you know, are going to be at least an enjoyable watch.
Yeah, and get those plays. You know, if I picked, like, something that no one heard of, you know, we got to get, it's got to be topical.
Not me picking some random obscure documentary.
No one would listen. I like these two because they give a first impression of sometimes, like, these big movies that people have all seen or seen are very popular. These are also in our We've Never Seen, but both of those series, I think, are interesting because they give, like, new perspectives or first-hand perspectives.
Hot takes.
Where a lot of people would be like, I've seen this so many times. Yeah. What are our two movies we will be discussing today?
We're talking about two very fine movies, some fine films.
Two comedies.
These
match very, very much.
I think
better.
This is a great double feature, honestly.
It is a good double feature. Which would you do first? I think the order we have them is probably.
Yeah, I think I would watch Breakfast Club first and then Game Night. Those are the two movies. So, Breakfast Club from 1985, obviously, the one and only.
Yeah.
And then Game Night from 2018.
You could imagine that Game Night is like the continuation of Breakfast Club. Like, just imagine the characters of Breakfast Club
down the road. Having a game night.
Yeah, exactly.
Like friends when they're adults, just partying.
Well,
because
Breakfast Club ends in the afternoon, and then you just go right to the night.
Yeah,
it's really a great transition.
I can see it.
So the first one we're talking about is The Breakfast Club. This is the one that I picked for Kayla to watch. It had to happen at some point. So you can now say you've seen The Breakfast Club. So I think
Without lying.
Yes. I think we had this conversation before about
movies? We've talked about it. I think we mainly talked about it with Singing in the Rain, which is one of those movies we recently did a We've Never Seen for, that you basically pretend that you've seen it. And Breakfast Club is obviously one of those movies that, as a film watcher, you basically gotta just... If you haven't seen it and you don't want to look like a clown, you know, you just act like you have. And yeah, that's kind of where I've been at. And Noah told me this is what he was going to pick. And I was like, dang you.
Well, you literally own the movie. So, you know.
I literally own it.
two formats, right? Because you own the VHS as well.
I do.
Yeah, okay.
I own it on VHS. And I own the Criterion. But, mm-hmm. like, the thing is, I don't have a VCR right now, and I also don't have a Blu-ray player right now, so...
Wow. That's life. Peacock came through with the stream. I'll just give a quick synopsis. I got both of these from Google. They were very good synopses. So, Breakfast mm-hmm. Club. Five high school students from different walks of life endure a Saturday detention under a power-hungry principal. The disparate group includes Rebel John, Princess Claire, Outcast Allison, Brainy Brian, and Andrew the Jock. Whew, got through that list. Each has a chance to tell his or her story, making the others see them a little differently. And when the day ends, they question whether school will ever be the same. That's a pretty good one. They did a good job.
It's cute. Simple.
Good job, Google.
Concise.
You did it. So I picked this movie for a couple reasons. One, because it was a big one you hadn't seen, so it was an easy choice.
Yep.
But also, I like it. It's not like I picked it and I'm like, I don't like this movie.
Right.
Gonna pick it anyway. So I first saw this probably later than most people. I think I was like 16. And then I hadn't seen it again until last year. I watched it at night, and I watched it during the time when it turned to midnight, which was when I turned 20. So I was very extra watching this movie.
Oh my gosh.
It was definitely timed.
Yeah.
It was not spur of the moment.
Yeah,
but,
right.
You know.
Of course.
It's a great story. It's a great story to tell.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome. Left the teenage years watching Breakfast Club. I remember when I first saw it, I like liked it. But obviously when you first see stuff like this, you always have like really high expectations.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if I really knew what it was going to be about either. So I wasn't aware maybe that it was basically a play, mm-hmm. which I think maybe we can talk about a little bit.
Yeah.
So that might have thrown me off, I think. But I liked it more and more, even though I hadn't like rewatched it, just because I think it's a really good,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think it really grows on you over time, just the more you think about it, and certain scenes or ideas or lines stick with you. I rewatched it and I confirmed that I did really like it. But I think it was one of those things where like I knew that I really liked it, even though I hadn't rewatched it again, just because it kind of just grew on me while it was just percolating in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
I think you like other John Hughes movies.
Yeah.
Do you like Ferris Bueller's Day Off?
I do.
Okay. I was pretty sure I was correct. So yeah, you can share your thoughts on it, and I'll come in after you share a little bit to share a little more, you know, back and forth kind of thing, how podcasts work.
I had not watched this before.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't even know why. It's just one of those things that I just never got around to. I likely mm-hmm. was not allowed to watch it when I was younger.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And I think the other thing is that, like you said, there's so much hype around it, and it's so well known that I think there's a certain level with movies like that where you're almost like scared to watch it, because it feels more sacred, where it's this very special, stands the test of time, maybe, but this movie that everyone talks about and seems to love. And I don't know, I knew that it's a movie that I would normally like, so I think I was kind of always worried that
mm-hmm.
I would watch it and then not like it, so almost sort of leaving it in this
one of those,
like, yeah, like leaving it in this place where
it's always
right
scary
there,
you're like,
but...
I really,
yeah. So I started it, and I think the first, like, because it's definitely, you mentioned a play, which we can talk about, but it's very three act, mm-hmm. and the first like 30 minutes, I was not feeling good about it. I wasn't sure. I was like, oh gosh, like, I'm going to have to go on this podcast and say, how much I don't like this movie. And
I didn't like The Breakfast Club.
Yeah, and I just was not. I would have told you we couldn't do it. But I did like it.
No.
It just would have stressed me out too much because, you know, everyone loves this movie for the most part. Yeah, I enjoyed it. I think once it got into the more nitty-gritty of it, I think it came around more for sure. And, I mean, that's like my general thought about it. I would love to watch the deleted scenes. And plan on watching the kind of extended stuff that's on the bonus features of the Criterion. I'd love to also watch the commentary with the commentary that's on it. This is the kind of movie that I like. I like these shorter 90-minute type features, coming of age, you know, also
it's such
comedy.
A great script. It's
I
so
love
tight.
The stuff where you throw the same, like, throw people into a room together. It's a trope I think is great.
Yeah.
I think it works really well in this for sure. I think all the characters each have a sort of relatable aspect to them that you can kind of connect with each of them in their own way. Which I think is also fun because they're so different but similar in their own aspects, I guess. Yeah, those are like my general thoughts about it.
Yeah, nice. I'm glad you liked it. I think too, the beginning is like a little off-putting. I think because I don't know. It's like very in your face in the beginning.
Well,
and
you don't know. You don't know the characters yet either,
right?
And I think when you get kind of towards the end, and in the third act, the reason you like are invested in it is because you've come to like the characters. So I think on a rewatch, it would probably be a lot more enjoyable from the beginning because you're already familiar with each of the characters. But because there's five different characters plus the principal, you have six characters that you're trying to learn about. It just, from the beginning, it's not as interesting or engaging, I guess.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say, is that I think it's a lot better when you rewatch. Like, even at the end, it's like, oh man, I want to rewatch the beginning to see how they were at the beginning and, like, how far they came. And I think the beginning is fun to watch, too, because you get to, like, pick up even more. The little things that they do that are, like, definitely part of their characters.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they're not all, like, the best actors, there's some, I think, so, like, obviously some are better than others, but I do think that they were all picked very well to fit the character. So even if they weren't, like, a great actor, like, for a, like, versatile kind of thing, they were very specific to the one character. Yeah, I'm glad you liked it. I think I definitely, like, the more iconic scenes are towards the second half.
Yeah.
Maybe like there's always like lines. I think this is like such a quotable movie. There's so many like great lines in this.
Yeah, definitely.
We did the secondhand, film tag with the Queer Quadrant. And this was one of my options for best favorite screenplay. I think because I watched some of the features on the Criterion release, not all of them. This is like one of the best set of bonus features for a movie that they have. But they definitely talked a lot about how much they changed while they were filming. I remember. So like the script was definitely a lot longer when they went in, and it was definitely even like a play maybe in that aspect, because you're like workshopping.
There's almost an hour of deleted footage.
Yeah, I'm sure. And it's like, I'm sure it was one of those where they just had all these conversational scenes.
Yeah.
And they were like, which ones help move the story, progress the story further? Because they are like a lot of individual scenes that are kind of like, okay, now, like, you can think in your mind, okay, now they're smoking the weed. Now they're in like the different sections of the library pretty much. I think the structure of this movie is really interesting, but it's like, because it's very 1-2-3 in acts. But also it's very, like, separate moments, kind of, if that makes sense.
Okay, now answer me this. I think that I know the answer to this, and I think it's probably the same answer that I would have to this question.
You think you know what I'm going to say?
I think I do know what you're going to say.
Okay.
And I think it's going to be the same as my answer.
All right. Okay.
Which character are you?
Brian.
Okay. That's what I thought it was going to be.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's also mine.
I think there's aspects you can connect with everyone, but he's like the most, I think.
To you, the most relatable.
For me.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I think everyone can connect mostly with one, but then you can, there's also parts of everyone that you can relate to, which is kind of the point, because they that's kind of what the characters end up realizing as the movie goes through, and you kind of go through the same thing. You're like, oh, wow, I do.
I was definitely, I was thinking about it throughout, and then I was like, yeah, it would probably be Brian.
He's my favorite character, too. He's very funny.
Apart from Vernon being, like, a literal douchebag, I think there were aspects of him that I related to as well. Like, the curmudgeonly. I feel like as I get older, I, you know, struggle with being lost in, like, you do something and then you kind of get lost in the job or whatever.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
become more pessimistic towards the future of the world. And I feel like there were times, and then him just like whistling around the halls, I was like,
yeah,
oh, that's me. But except for the scenes where he's like very, very cruel to the children, because
right, exactly,
I think that's awful. But
I think he's kind of overlooked in this movie a lot. Like, people always talk about like the main five as like, you know, there's like so many like dissertations on stuff like this where it's like, this is the five archetypes of every person in high school, like, you, but they never really talk about the principal, which I think is kind of like a really key aspect,
or even the janitor as well,
because you can imagine them as like these characters when they were that age, you know.
And yeah,
kind of, it's with them, it's about like how they relate to their childhood and growing up. It's very good. With, I think they're really underrated aspects of this movie and give it a very nice like depth to it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just like coming of age, we're all the kids we're getting older, but it's also like you have this perspective where you can kind of look back a little bit too, which I think probably makes it even more enjoyable for like a wider variety of generations.
Yeah. I also like one thing is that they address in the movie that they would probably never hang out again. Because
yes, yeah.
I think that this trope, found family or whatever, is in a lot of things. And then it just, the end is not believable, because you're like, they would never be friends. And
right.
you know that they would never hang out. So I like that they tell you that in the movie, because I think it makes it a lot more realistic, because that is the way the world works. It's the way high school works. It's the way teenagers work. And I thought that that was interesting. And
yeah, that was something I was going to ask, because this is like the one question everyone asks is, do you think that they stay friends? And I always say no.
No, I don't think that they do either.
Like, to think about, like, a potential sequel that would never happen, but just think about, like, the next day, like, create, like, scenarios, or the next
Monday, I guess the way that I would see this going, having been a high schooler and working with high schoolers, is they'd probably be friendly towards each other in the hallway. Maybe be a little less cruel to each other. Maybe be a little less ghoulish. Maybe they'll hook up once or twice. And then after a couple weeks, maybe a month, like, they'll never talk again.
Back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to revert back to their social circles. High school is a cruel world. And I think the peer pressure of every social group, no matter what social group you're in, just gets the better of you. And I think that maybe this changed them in some ways of seeing other people's perspectives, and maybe they'll take some of that with them and, you know, be less mean or
You know, if this came out today, it would end with like a stop bullying, like end.
Yeah,
card, you know?
Yeah, totally.
Like one of those.
But yeah, I don't think that they would. Definitely, at least not lasting out of high school. Like maybe they're a little chummy in high school,
but
like,
not like sitting at the same table every day. Like
yeah,
you know,
like they're not really hanging out. Like maybe every once in a while they're like, oh, reunion, like. But
and like three people go and two people
yeah
don't go.
But like after
yeah.
high school none of these kids are seeing each other ever mm-hmm. again.
And I think that's what's kind of cool about it is it's like this moment that they'll probably forget about
mm-hmm.
you know in like 10 years.
Yeah,
but it's like such an important moment in their lives probably even if they don't remember it. One, it's kind of like one of those things which I think we all have.
Yeah,
like which I think is goes against the movie trope where it's like in movies, there's these big events, and they format them as, like, these is the life-changing moment, and his life will never be the same after this. And that's, like, but in real life, you don't really have those, like, defining moments. Not very often, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think that really happens. It's more, like, these things that just, these little things that happen along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of forget about them sometimes. It's a lot more real than I would expect a John Hughes movie to be.
Yeah.
Like, considering his other work, which is interesting. I think, like, this is a lot different
mm-hmm.
than a lot. In ways, it's similar, but the themes, the overall themes, like, I think are a lot deeper than some of his other stuff, which is why it's probably my favorite of his. I'm not, like, a huge John Hughes fan.
Right.
But I do enjoy his movies, but I think this is my favorite of his. The last thing I wanted to bring up was like the ending, because there are a lot of controversial aspects of the ending, which I think the some of the portions of the ending are my least favorite part
mm-hmm.
in why it's not like a perfect movie for me. The one thing obviously is Allison's makeover is one of the things that's disputed. And then the other thing is that John and Claire like hooking up thing.
Right.
So those are like the two biggest aspects. For me, the biggest controversial aspect is Brian having to write this whole essay while everyone else just goes and makes out. But, you know, it's fine.
Yeah.
Right. But those are the two, I think, things that most people point to as like inconsistencies or annoying aspects of the story, which I could kind of agree with.
Yeah.
Which I just wanted to see what you thought.
Yeah,
about that.
I think that they're very typical of this kind of movie.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't really surprise me. I think them hooking up or making out or whatever it is they do, Claire and John,
mm-hmm.
is just whatever. It's typical of a teen movie. You have five
but it's also,
horny teens in a room like
it's
all
also probably like what would have happened though.
Yeah,
like because it's not what they should have happened, but it probably is what
I also
happened.
Feel like theirs is it's a little more believable because there is some sort of tension between them the whole day, whether or not it's like toxic. It's very toxic,
right?
But, I don't think that bothers me as much. I mean, more it's like, why do we need teens hooking up anyway? But I do think that, you know, that one's more passable. I think that Allison's makeover is just a little too much. I think it's a little weird. I get what they were going for.
They all of a sudden introduce Andrew as a love interest, but
it's only
when they did the makeover.
Right,
you know?
Right,
it's
right,
not like there was interest
right,
before.
Right.
So
yep, and
she was cooler before.
It
was a definite downgrade.
Yeah, and I also just hate the idea that every girl has to wear makeup and look a certain way.
Yeah, well, that's the big thing.
Yeah, I think it defeats the purpose of the movie, because I think the movie's supposed to be like, oh, we're in these different circles, and we're our own unique people, and the other circles kind of just need to understand to live and let live, and then they're kind of just like, oh, ha,
but except for you, you have
to
kind
you have
of
to
change.
Not great for high school girls' self-esteem. But yeah, it is what it is.
Yeah, I think it was definitely a popular decision when they came out because she was like the main like heartthrob of the movie. So, you know, it I guess it worked in their favor for that, but it definitely undercut some of the message.
Yeah, what's funny is she Allison is played by I don't remember her name. And I haven't really seen her in anything else or like have not really recognized her in anything else.
Ally Sheedy.
But she's in Psych, the TV show.
Yeah.
And she plays this recurring serial killer basically who tries to like basically kill Sean's family and like captures Sean's family and is at the end cap of like three seasons. Like this is like the this big recurring antagonist.
Like the, yeah, right. Yeah.
And it just was funny to me because her original look kind of is similar and mannerisms are similar to that character. So at first it kind of threw me off a little bit because I was like, oh, this is...
Origin story?
I was like, this is Yang. This is Yang from Psych. So
if any Psych fans out there are getting some great content.
Great content. All my Psychos out there.
What's the Psych fan... Is that,
Psychos,
is
yeah.
It Psychos?
The Psychos.
Wow. great. Love it. The Psychos.
It definitely is not politically correct.
Yikes. What about, like, the... I don't know what else it could be.
Yeah.
There's really nothing else.
Yeah.
It's really the only
option. Mean, like, psychics would have been better. Because he's a psychic.
Right, well,
so
isn't
that's...
it about mind psychic anyway?
Yeah, like, he's a fake psychic, basically.
So that would make more sense with the show.
Yeah. You know, it came out in 2006.
Yeah,
this
is what it is.
You know, same with this. There's a lot of
same with this.
There's
a
lot of stuff in this movie that you watch it now and you hear some of the things they say and you're like, yeesh, like that.
But also, I think it's different a little bit because it's not really framed as like a good thing.
No,
as,
yeah, it, I agree.
Like pretty, like in 16 Candles. That's it's like the It's like they do a lot of the same things in that. But it's framed as like the something that's like honorable,
yeah.
Which obviously it's not.
Yeah, like these kids.
I hate 16
yeah,
candles.
Same. The kids in this are not great people. We're just gonna be honest, and it doesn't surprise me some of the things that they say. But
right, exactly.
It doesn't make it good either. So.
Yeah, don't say the, well, yeah, What do you, last thing, what do you think about the hurtling over the bookshelves?
Amazing.
Great.
Iconic.
Great. Okay.
There's a lot of, like, things, like, moments like that. We've got
the dance scene.
Climbing up on
the
statue.
So good.
The dance scene.
Well, because it comes right after, like, the big, like, 10-minute, like, crying scene where like it's like all the emotional moments and I'm like, all right, dance time,
which
like,
is okay. So you know that's how life is right now.
You're like all right,
it's like you're
again,
crying through something super heavy and then 10 minutes later you're like, all right, like got a time to throw on the new whatever song. I was trying to think of a popular song right now, but my brain just like blanked.
Yeah, this is a good quarantine movie. They're all quarantined. You know, good. We got good lockdown movie. Pandemic times. Cool. Any final thoughts before we move on to our other movie for the day?
No, I think that's I think that's fine.
I would say we both would recommend it, which you don't need our recommendation to watch
it,
but you know. Cool. So we'll go to an ad break now, and when we come back, we will be discussing Kayla's pick, which is Game Night.
Amazing. And we're back.
I had to do that last week, and it definitely was not as
good. Oh, man.
So
that was that your first time ever doing it on an episode?
It was my first time, yeah. And I wasn't aware that I had to do it until I was doing it. So I didn't hold it out because I was like, I have to like make it my own thing.
Yeah, right.
So, of course. Okay.
So we're talking here Game Night from 2018. This is directed by John Francis Daley and Jonathan Goldstein, who basically direct all their movies together. That they've done. They're doing a Dungeons and Dragons movie.
I saw that.
Which,
yeah, I saw
you know,
last night.
Who knows? Could be fun. Some really big name people in this movie: Jason Bateman, Rachel McAdams, Lamorne Morris, Jesse Plemons, who is a big film Twitter, you know, person that pops up. Lots of good things about this film. Do we do the synopsis before we do the explain?
Just read the synopsis.
Great.
This one, they might be more unfamiliar with.
Sure, I'll just read out what we've got here. Spoilers all around. Max and Annie's weekly game night gets kicked up a notch when Max's brother Brooks arranges a murder mystery party, complete with fake thugs and federal agents. So when Brooks gets kidnapped, it's all supposed to be part of the game. As the competitors set out to solve the case, they start to learn that neither the game nor Brooks are what they seem to be. Dun, da, 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 dun. The friends soon find themselves in over their heads as each twist leads to another unexpected turn over the course of one chaotic night. Why I picked this movie? What I did was I went to your watch list on Letterboxd and filtered it by movies that I have watched.
Wow.
And then picked one that I enjoy very much, and then one that I thought that you also would enjoy, and one that I would want to watch again and talk about. That's basically was my process here.
A great process of elimination.
My relationship with this movie. So I love this movie. So I saw this movie when it first came out in theaters because I had MoviePass then. I liked it so much that I took one of my friends to see it. And so we went and saw it. And we swung by, this is like, wow, pre-COVID, we swung through Little Caesars, which obviously is crap pizza, but cheap pizza.
The
you
worst
know?
Pizza.
College life. It is that's what
true.
It is. You gotta...
Well, college and youth group life, you know?
Yeah, right, always... right.
You know what? My youth group, they used to reuse Little Caesars pizza.
Oh,
no! We can cut this out. But
no!
The pizza that they didn't sell... They sold it, first of all, which they were making a profit on Little Caesars pizza.
We did that
in
high school.
They were selling it for a profit.
Yeah, we had our like senior store at lunch in high school, and we would upsell Little Caesars pizza to people to basically make money for our senior class.
Nice. Anyway, Little Caesars.
Yeah, so my friend and I swung through Little Caesars and bought a pizza, and I had a Tupperware container in my bag, and we pulled the whole pizza apart and put it in my Tupperware container and then put it in my backpack and carried it into the theater. We did buy drinks at the theater, I think. Maybe we brought
spent
drinks
$20
too.
On $20 on those drinks.
But yeah, we sat there and ate the pizza out of my Tupperware at the theater. AMC Lynn Haven. It was a good time. And she loved it, and I loved it. And then I think I went and saw it a third time as well. I've watched it a couple times since then. And then
shout out to MoviePass.
I bought it. I found it in the $5 movie bin at Target. So I own it now.
Shout out to Target as well.
No, I think this movie is so funny. It's one of the only comedies that I can repeatedly watch and still laugh at the jokes, because sometimes I think bits can get a little old in comedy movies when you rewatch them, especially because you know what's coming. It's not quite as funny, but I think so many of the bits work in this so well that like I still know what's coming and I still laugh out loud watching it, which is always
the best kind of comedy.
It's That's always great. A win for me. I think it's clever. It was also one of the first times I watched a comedy recently that I actually thought was clever.
Like a recent comedy?
Yeah, because I think a lot of recent comedies rely too much on raunchy humor, kind of humor that really just gets outdated within a year or two. And I think the jokes that are modern in this still hit and still work, ones that have more modern references. Mm. Yeah, I also love some good slapstick comedy, but I don't love when slapstick comedy... Like, I love slapstick comedy in combination with other comedy, and I think this movie balances different variations of comedy very well.
Yeah. That's a good point. Slapstick can get really old, so it's got to be like, you got to use it really sparsely, because it can be really funny if you're like not expecting it. But if you're expecting slapstick, then it's not really that funny.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. That's really funny. I feel like this movie gives off such MoviePass vibes.
Yeah.
Like, for some reason, it's one of those. I think it's just all movies that came out around the MoviePass era.
Yeah.
Are like, someone needs to make a Letterboxd list, like MoviePass movies.
Yeah.
Let's get on that.
Yeah.
That would be great. Greatest Showman. I can't. There's others. Anyway. this has been on my watch list for a while. I think I just added it because I knew a lot of people thought it was funny, mm-hmm. and liked it. And I was like, oh, I'll add this to my watch list. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't like a pick I had never heard of. I'd heard of it before. Mm-hmm. Just a little different than Breakfast Club. Like, I was planning on getting around to eventually, but it wasn't one I was like, oh my gosh, I have to see this. So if people ask me about Game Night, I have my thoughts I can share right away. But I like Jason Bateman. I love the first, like the original Arrested Development seasons are amazing.
I love Jason Bateman.
He's really funny. He's a great guy. Like, I love him in like podcasts. He's really
he's underrated. Smart. Honestly, like,
he really is. Let's get him in more things.
Yeah. Well, he's in that like Netflix show.
Yeah,
it's really big. Right. I don't watch that. So.
Yeah, that's not my thing. But good for him. You know, he's getting a lot of awards. what's interesting is that this movie does, like, it has Jason Bateman, Rachel McAdams, which are like huge names, but after that I feel like a lot of the main cast is not like super well known.
I think they're well known in their own categories.
Niches.
Yeah,
right. Well, I had never heard of them, so it was, well, except for Brooks, I obviously knew him. So it was interesting, kind of, because with the main characters, obviously, I had, while I was watching, a bit more of like expectations for like them in comedy, you know, like I knew their style, or I just had seen them before. But then you had a lot of the other characters that I had never seen before, and it's like, oh, I wonder. It was interesting because it was a completely different thing where I didn't know what to expect from their style of comedy. So I knew Jesse Plemons, obviously, which honestly, not the biggest Jesse Plemons fan, but you know, I respect the film Twitter movements. I thought this was fun. I thought it was cool. I thought there was definitely a lot of really cool like game Easter eggs throughout. Like, I definitely think their house, when they do like in the beginning, like the sweeping shot on their house, is definitely like a Life kind of setup. It looks like the game of Life, like the houses. I honestly wish it kind of leaned a little bit more on board games, because I'm a huge board game fan.
Mm-hmm.
I love board games. They're great. But it definitely, I was worried it would feel a little, because I had no really idea like how much about board games this would be. So in the first like 20 minutes, I was a little worried it would be too branded. Like, it would be too much like, because there was obviously like Scrabble sponsors or whatever, but I would worry it'd be too much of that. But then it got a lot different, obviously. And it turned into more of like this like thriller, murder mystery kind of thing. Which it was interesting because it has a lot of different tones that it's trying to balance. And so it's trying to do the comedic stuff, but also there is obviously tension in the movie. So I definitely enjoyed it. One thing is that this just really isn't my style of comedy.
Right.
So I thought it was funny, like I was thought it was enjoyable to watch kind of thing. I don't know if I really laughed out loud at like a lot of stuff, but I thought it was just like less comedy and more just like fun action kind of thing, which is fine too. I just definitely didn't, I was reading it more as an action comedy rather than a comedy with action elements.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if I would be like so keen to rewatch, like, unless maybe with a friend, because it probably is fun to rewatch with people. It's always more fun to rewatch stuff with people. I love the bit where they were coming in the window. That was awesome. Great. That was really funny. And I love the Tostitos joke.
Yeah.
Like, how is that profitable for Frito-Lay? Like, he knows. He used, like, the actual brand name. Very funny.
My favorite bit, I think, there's a lot of bits that I really like, but I think my favorite one is when they're removing the bullet out of his arm. Then they both start like dry heaving, and they're like, mm-hmm. No, don't you, because that's totally me. Like, when other people are throwing up, I'm like...
Yeah, right.
I do it too. And so that's just, like, very relatable, so it's very funny to me that, like, they do that.
And with a little squeaky toy in his mouth. How do they not realize that... that the bullet came out of his arm, though? I feel like that I've never been shot in the arm, but I feel like I would know if a bullet went straight through my arm or into my arm. But
have you been shot anywhere else? Because you said you've never been shot in the arm. Have you ever been shot?
No comment. I think it's one of those movies, kind of like, it reminded me a lot of both Clue and The Game. Like, it felt like Clue and The Game kind of combined, but a lot of Clue, because, like, I feel like you go into Clue expecting twists, and that's what kind of you have, like, you're kind of going into expecting twists in this, you know? It almost sets it up in the beginning where the brother's like, you won't know what's real or fake, where obviously he's talking to the audience there. It's interesting watching movies expecting twists, because I think there can be both good aspects and bad aspects where... It definitely makes you watch more intentionally because you're like, okay, so is that what that was? Like, you're really, like, analyzing everything or trying to predict things. But also it's like then sometimes either the twist is too obvious or it just gets, like, it's not as cool as you thought it would be, like, because it's build up. I think there's, like, one too many twists in this. I don't know which one they would cut, but it felt like... It was really funny, like, that they kept doing, like, twist, like, that thing. But then there was, like, I felt like it went one over. But it's definitely, like, a cool trope that is not really employed a lot. And it's obvious they really thought through everything, because then you have the end credits thing of, like, them going through his plan.
Which is clever.
Which is really funny, because it's, like, obviously filmmakers, they want to, like... They're like, look at the thing I made, like, the cool plan, but you don't really want to do it in the movie because then it's just kind of lame just explaining everything. So that was, like, a fun way for them to, like, show off.
Yeah, I think, like, it works, too.
The intricacies, but also it's not, like, part of the movie, so it's not, like, the script is lazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one thing I appreciate about it is that you can tell they tried to do some different things. Like, kind of in the little sort of title card sequences and those kind of transitional where, you know, they show the, like, close-up, boom, boom, boom cuts up close of, like, rolling the dice and whatnot with the camera movements.
That was fun. Good montage.
I think that those are clever and are not utilized in movies a lot because a lot of times they don't work. But I think it's because when people do them, they don't take the risk as much. They kind of just do it. And I think in this, it works in a way that they kind of did some of those more unique type things.
I also think the actors are a lot more into it than I think sometimes, like, in other comedy movies.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can tell that, I think because this has, like, it's pretty narrative driven. So it's not, like, bit-driven. It's more, again, that's how I felt. Like, it was more the narrative, and then there was comedy on top of it. So I think that makes the actors really... Because they're good actors. And so, I don't know, it felt a lot more quality. Like, a quality film rather than, I think, a lot of comedy films come across as, like joke. And it's more like a stand-up routine with a camera, with a good camera quality.
I think it gives more room to develop the characters when you write it like that. Like, when you make a base and then can kind of have your characters adapt to the situation, I think that works a lot better than, you know, writing the characters and making it, like you said, bit-driven. Because I think stuff like you put the couple... In the room, locked in that room together, and then they're, like, arguing about something, but then they're also trying to get out of the room, out of the office in the house. And I think that's something where it's like, okay, we'll put them in the room, and they'll be locked, and they're gonna have to try to get out. And then you can kind of mold the rest of the scene off of those characters that you created, put into the specific situation and the narrative. And I think that works really well for them.
Yeah. I think the arcs are not bad, too. Like, they're obviously pretty basic, but I think they're implemented, like, well enough that they're believable. I think obviously like the main character, like the main two, the main couple, they have like the biggest arc.
Mm-hmm.
There, because obviously, but there's like a couple of like little arcs too. With what was the other white guy?
I don't remember his name.
The Chad.
Yeah, the one played by Billy Magnuson, whatever his name was.
He had like some cool little like
Ryan
side. Yeah, like some side moments that I thought were interesting that made his character like a little more interesting and just less of just I don't know, like a machine to like
yeah.
put jokes in mm-hmm. and just be like, okay, joke time, bud. Like he had, I think, somewhat of a character, which is a lot more than I can say for other comedy movies where it's just like,
yeah, with those side characters,
really
characters, especially
they're not really characters, it's just like they're there to deliver the jokes and be tropes and just leave.
Yeah, I think that's one thing I yeah. like about this is that there are so many characters in this because you have like the six main characters and then also Brooks and then you have Jesse Plemons' character Gary and it's really hard when you have a movie with a lot of those to make personalities. And I think they did a good job of making each character, even if some of the side characters are a little similar in the way they function, I think they did make each character unique enough or give them enough personality that they're believable as in this friend group.
Yeah, yeah. I have a question. If you were... I'm going to say Jason Bateman because I feel like he's the like the driver
yeah,
of a lot of
the
stuff. If you were Jason Bateman, where would you have drawn the line and just called it a night? Or would you have gone like to the end of the movie? Like what would have been the final straw or would there not be a final straw?
I think I'd like to say I would go all the way to the end. Yeah, I think I would have drawn it from the beginning. Like, knowing me.
I think once I get shot, I think I'm done. I think I'm like, but I think I'm good.
Yeah, I think even before that, I would have drawn it, like...
Well, before he got shot, though, they didn't know that it was fake.
Yeah. I don't
that
know.
That it wasn't fake.
I don't know. I would have just been like, oh, no, not tonight. Like, I'm going to bed.
Well, and it's like, they were very obviously... like hurting each other in that fight,
right?
In the opening fight,
right?
So I would have been like, okay, this is a little much. Can we just let's just go back to my place and play life?
Yeah, I might even have drawn it before then. Honestly, like we're not going
before
to this.
The drinking game.
Yeah, we're not going to this guy's
you don't even
house.
Go actually. Yeah.
Like we're staying at home.
Wow.
I don't know. It's hard to say. Yeah.
It is.
But I do, I'd like to think that if I were put in this situation, I'd be like, nah, screw it. Like, I'm all in. This is my dream of, like, pulling off a heist. Like, let's do it.
That would have been where I definitely stopped it. I would
steal
never have gotten that house.
This
that's
Fabergé
my
egg, please. That's
yeah,
my
that
dream.
I would have been out. I would have been out at the house. Like, I'm not going in this house with...
If I wasn't shot at that point, I think I would have,
if you didn't have the bullet wound.
Yeah, like, if the bullet wound came after.
Right.
Because,
yeah,
like...
because I would have gone to Jesse Plemons' house and played Jenga.
Sure.
I would have done that.
Sure.
That's a win.
If I were shot, I also would not be present. Like, I would pass out...
I would be done.
Like, I cut my finger cutting a carrot and almost passed out, like, just from slicing my finger open. So, I think
yeah,
a
I feel
bullet
like
wound...
he definitely would have got infection. I think in real life, if you got shot and it went through your arm, it would definitely be worse.
Yeah.
Than it was in this.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just
it's
a
movie.
Fun movie.
Yeah.
If I had got shot, though, I would have been done. It doesn't matter where it was. I'd be out. Be like, all right, this is too much. And his brother is like an awful person. Like
yeah.
You see the things that they pull up on his file. I'd be what? Maybe once I saw that, I'm like, actually, you know what? No thanks. Let's end it with what is your favorite board game?
Oh gosh. Like classic board game or?
Favorite board game to play at a game night, you know, because
okay.
I feel like. There's like games like Risk where I like playing maybe more with three people, but if it's like five or six, mm-hmm. maybe even just game, because a lot of the games they play are like Scattergories they were playing, I think, or Pictionary. I don't know.
Yeah,
playing...
like Charades.
Charades, yeah, like the classics. So what's like your favorite game night game?
Yeah, I don't know. Variation, I guess. I like the Game of Life, not that I haven't played it for a decade. I'm big into Monopoly, but I don't play it often because...
I think Monopoly and Life, there's just, like, so many pieces with that many people. I'm just like, you know what? Let's simplify.
I also get too brutal when I play Monopoly.
Yeah,
I'm
Monopoly,
ruthless,
Monopoly, it
and
gets ugly.
It kind of scares me a little bit. We've been playing this game recently called... Oh, geez. House on Haunting Hill or something. Played it with Zach and Kristen and my dad. That was actually how I got COVID from my dad, was we were playing this board game together. But that one was fun. It's like a haunted house, and you're each a character with like different strengths and traits and weaknesses and whatever. And you kind of start playing and unlock rooms, and then... You basically roll a number, whatever, and then there's, like, a haunting that happens. And then one person basically is the haunting person, and you have to, like, defeat whatever, you know, you're being haunted by in this house. Like, a monster or something like that.
Cool. That sounds fun. Board games are great. If I was playing, like, if there was three other people... And it was just like, let's just play a board game. I think Sorry is a great choice because, you know, it's like there's not so much strategy that you have to think about stuff. There's like just a couple cards that have strategy. And I don't know. It's just like it's just a, the right amount of mean, but also not the amount of mean that you're going to like
destroy
the
relationships.
Whole night.
Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. I also like trivia games. I think with a lot of like I suck at them.
Yeah.
Like I'm, but even not with the board, just get like the cards and just read trivia questions.
Yeah,
I
like
that's
trivia
fun too. You know.
Yeah.
I always learn something and then I forget the fact.
I am a big fan of Scrabble.
Oh, Scrabble's great.
Because I'm very good at it, and so.
But here's the thing: you have to play Scrabble with like the rule that if you look it up in the dictionary and if it's not a word, then you lose your turn. Because some people will like. Use the dictionary just like the whole time and like let me find the hardest word I can. Like no,
yeah.
If you don't know the word, then that doesn't count. You know,
right?
You use the dictionary, and if you're wrong, then you lose the turn.
That's why.
Anyway, Scrabble,
that's why you play Scrabble pod. Because it's about who has the most actual knowledge in their brain and who's
exactly.
able to play
it's
their tiles in the
best place.
It's not about
who's looking at the dictionary the most.
Don't care, but. Even if you don't know a lot of words, you can still win Scrabble by playing your tiles right. So,
yes.
I don't know.
It's all about the tiles.
Big fan of games. Disappointed that we can't have our own, you know, like, board game nights, I guess.
Yeah, I love board. Board games are so underrated.
Mm-hmm.
After pandemic, only board games. No video games. Board games only.
None.
Is my rule.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. So that was great because we both liked both the movies. So it was very
nice.
Wow,
so this is, we're two for two here. Well.
You didn't like Phantom Thread, though.
But I didn't dislike it.
You didn't dislike it. Okay,
but
so
I didn't
we're
really,
two for two.
Yeah.
I think
we can settle on being two for two.
We'll settle on the two for two, you know, which is great. We've got the love spreading all around. Fun times. If you want to get into the conversation about maybe you have thoughts about either the Breakfast Club or game night or maybe even your favorite game or maybe you have thoughts about Scrabble, email us at secondhandfilmcritics@gmail.com and maybe we'll read your comments in an upcoming episode.
Let us know. Hit up Spooks and Stats.
Oh yeah, that bring it back Spooks and Stats. Our socials, you go to Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook. And if you just search Secondhand Film Critics, we will come up because we're the only Secondhand Film Critics in the world. What is our next episode?
Our next episode, we will be doing a We've Never Seen. Can you believe it? So lots of movies that we haven't seen here. We'll be covering the Oceans trilogy.
So actually three movies we've never
three
seen.
Three movies we've never seen.
Well, actually, I've seen it now.
You have.
After the recording, I still got to watch them.
We've got some heisty heists going on.
Maybe we'll like rate the heists. We can rank the heists.
My favorite genre of film.
Will
film noir,
great,
heist films. Those are my two favorites. favorite documentaries. Mm. Those are my three favorite.
Yeah, and that is why you love Chicken Little. that episode will drop Tuesday at 10 a.m. Eastern. And until next time, I'm Noah.
And I'm Kayla.
And we're
your second. Sorry, I forgot. Can we do that again?
You've gone a week and you already forget the outro.
Woo! Sorry. Okay, go ahead. And we're your second hand film critic. And I'm Spooks.
I'm Stats.
Okay, great.